May only your word be spoken, O Lord. May only your word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. I'm Brad Sullivan, the Vicar at Lord of the Streets Episcopal Church, and I'm very glad to get to be here to preach for y'all while Hannah is away, and thank you all again for opening your doors to us each Sunday for our worship and breakfast on Sunday mornings. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. There were all sorts of people there, a large, disparate group of people from all different backgrounds, different cultures, different norms and ways of life. They were gathered together there already, and then the Holy Spirit united them even further. That was Jesus' prayer for his disciples fulfilled, that they would be one as Jesus and the Father are one. Remember that God, by God's very nature, is a community, a relationship of persons, three persons bound together so perfectly in love that they are one. When Jesus prayed that we would be one as God is one, Jesus was praying that we would live into the image of God in which we are made. We are made for community, for loving and supportive relationships. So when Jesus formed the church, Jesus formed us as a community of people, a bunch of different, an odd collection of people who were made one with one another through the Holy Spirit. What that means, among other things, is that there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We hear a lot from some groups in the church about personal salvation. But that's not really a thing. Jesus isn't anyone's personal Savior. Jesus is our Savior. All of our Savior. We have a challenge in understanding this, partly because the people who translate the Bible into English seem not to be from Texas. What I mean by that is they don't use the word y'all. Most of the time when Jesus said you, he was actually saying y'all. It's a plural form of you that he used. Our Greek teacher loved the Texans in seminary, because we got it. We understood that plural form of you. In our passage today, Jesus said, "The advocate will come, whom I will send to y'all." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are y'all when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and meet and be glad, for y'all's reward is great in heaven." Now, Jesus does talk about God repaying each one of us according to our individual deeds. What each person does really does matter. At the same time, salvation is not a solitary affair because the kingdom of God dwells within community. How are we doing as a community? Not just here, but beyond here too. How are we doing? How do we act towards one another? What do we see as a community? Last week, there was a man sitting on the sidewalk as cars were driving quickly by, and another man was worried about him and wanted him to be safe. "Get up! Get up!" he shouted. "Stop sitting there! What are you doing? Get up!" Well, the guy got up because he thought he was being attacked. I asked what was going on, and I found out that the guy who was shouting was just concerned about this guy, concerned for his safety. So I suggested that next time he kneel down next to the man and gently ask him to get up for his safety. He realized how his shouting had seemed like an attack rather than a help, and he apologized. And the two went away good with each other, instead of at odds. The kingdom of God was the result, rather than two people angry with one another. our individual actions can help bring apart or break apart community. So what each one of us does matters, but not for our individual salvation, but for all of our salvation. Jesus formed the church not to make a bunch of individuals personally saved, but to save a bunch of individuals by making us one. This is the church, and I don't mean the building. This is Jesus' gathering of his disciples. Not all who are here may be disciples of Jesus, and all who are here are welcome, even if not a disciple. This is the gathering. This people is Jesus' church. That means we have some ways of life that we follow so that we may be one. When we're gathered for worship, we follow a way of love and respect. This time gathered for prayer and worship is meant to be a time of peace and unity. We're not here as a bunch of individuals out for ourselves. We're here as the church made one by the Holy Spirit. And then we get to carry that unity with us as we go. We continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to make us one. Unity. Community is what we are made for, and a big part of how we are healed through Jesus, being restored into the image of God in which we are made as we are made one with one another. A big challenge we find with our brothers and sisters who are experiencing homelessness is that lack of community, a lack of supportive community. Life on the streets is tough. And even once someone gets an apartment, sometimes they're left alone. Imagine living on the streets with a group of people who have become your friends, your family. And then you're given an apartment through the Way Home housing program. And it's wonderful. But it may also be an hour bus ride from everything you know. You no longer have a community. You've got a difficult time getting a job because of transportation issues. So you've got a roof over your head, but you're isolated and alone. We see this with some, not all, but some of our parishioners who get housed, saved from the streets, but in isolation. And that isolation simply doesn't work. Like with Jesus, personal salvation isn't really a thing. Being saved from a God who is angry at us for breaking the rules isn't actually what Christianity is about. When we sin, we do things that isolate ourselves. We hurt others, we push them away. We care about ourselves to the exclusion of others, climbing ladders and leaving everyone else below us. We isolate in addiction, desperately trying to cope with the problems in our lives and in our world, and we are left once again alone, sometimes alone even if surrounded by people. Loneliness and isolation are hells from which Jesus saves us. His prayer for us is that we would be one, just as he and the Father are one. Then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work of forming us as one. As disparate people from all different cultures and backgrounds were formed into the one body of the church, so are we continually being formed as one body through the same Holy Spirit. Such is our salvation, no longer as individuals tossed to and fro by the changes and chances of this life. We are made one body to live together in unity, raising each other up when we fall, living not only for ourselves alone, but for Jesus who died for us and rose again, whose body we have become.